Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in depth psychology. That is the deeper sense of the self, the deeper sense of the unconscious, what we work to bring to the surface to change our lives so that we can accept and experience a sense of calling instead of a sense of vocation in our lives. And that way we have access to a deeper sense of meaning as well. So if that's a topic that interests you, or if the topic of connecting with your deeper intuition, your deeper felt sense, your deeper experiences of who you are as an authentic self, if that topic interests you, then you're definitely in the right place. This evening, I had planned to talk about the topic of ethics in readings and in intuitive work and in holistic work. And I'm hoping that my guest is going to pop back on. I'm actually going to check and check in the chat and see perhaps if it's a different number. So bear with me while I check this out. Hi there. This is Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who is this?
Yeah, hi. I was just calling into the show. My name's Brandy.
Oh, awesome, Brandy. Okay, we're just waiting for the guest. So I was getting a sense of if you were that person. Were you looking for to ask a question tonight, this evening?
Yeah, I was. I can wait if you need me to.
Sure. Okay, well, enjoy listening then.
Okay.
I don't know if maybe we got our wires crossed here, but I am not hearing from him. Tell you what, I encourage you to hang on the line, and I am going to go and make a phone call and then call back in. So, because maybe we got our wires crossed that way, or maybe he's just a minute or two late. Okay, so just hang on, and I will be right back on the air to continue the show. Okay. Hi, JP.
Hi, this is JP.
Hey, how are you? Yay, well, cool. That's what happens with Mercury in retrograde. For folks who are listening to the show and don't know, Mercury is in retrograde right now. How long is it in retrograde for, JP? Do you know? Is it like 3 weeks?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think it's going to be in retrograde for the next couple of weeks. I think it ends March the 17th. But, you know,
that's...
it's coupled with Saturn being in retrograde, too. So this is, you know, this is some really heavy-hitting energy right
and
I almost lost my marbles.
And for folks who are listening, is Saturn in retrograde about?
You know, Saturn is like, I always refer to Saturn as the personal life coach. Okay, this is the personal life coach or fitness coach that comes into your life. So Saturn represents that coach that comes into your life and really said, okay, if you want to get to the payoff, if you want to get to this goal or this great achievement, you've really got to put in the work. If you want to lose the weight, you've got to put in the work. And so that's what Saturn is all about. Saturn is the planet, especially if you take a look at your natal chart. Take a look at where Saturn is, because that's the place where you'll have to really do some work to really reap the harvest. So Saturn has been in Scorpio. It's going to be there for the next 3 years, and this is all about doing the inner work and really going in and letting go of all those skeletons in the closet and really, really working our way into sobriety. So now that Saturn is in retrograde, the influences are felt more on an internal level. So now the dialogue on the inside should be changing. We should be seeing that, you know, you might feel a little impatient with yourself. You might, you might be prone to the judgment and criticism because you're really working on, how can I get to this? How can I do this? How can I heal? Because remember, you know, Saturn's in Scorpio. Scorpio is all about healing and rehabilitation and transformation. So it's like, okay, I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to let go. I've been doing everything I can. What more can I do? You know, that type of energy. And so, you know, that's coupled with Mercury going retrograde. So we really need to be extra gentle with ourselves and really understand that this is a process. It's a huge process right now.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. For folks who aren't familiar with what Mercury in retrograde means, it means that the planet is going backward. Is that right, JP?
Right. Yeah, yeah. It appears that it's going backwards. And when it appears that it's going backwards, what's happening? So Mercury is, you know, this is I always associate Mercury with like a little bird by the window. It's always singing, always joyful, because Mercury is the planet of communication, and it's also the planet of travel. And so it appears like it's going backwards from our point of perspective, which is Earth. So from the Earth planet, it appears to be going backwards, and really it's creating a delay in our communication and getting across to one another. It's definitely pulling in some delays in technology and really doing things sometimes. And so that's what it's really influencing. And then you have it. So Mercury's in the sign of Pisces, and Pisces is really, really imaginative and very watery. So, you know, we're not very practical at this particular time. So Mercury slows down. It's in retrograde, so it's slowing down our communicative ability or our ability to be understood. It's slowing down our train of thought, and it's in a watery sign, which is Pisces. So we're prone to more imagining things. We could find answers really better in dreams. This is a great time to really take notes of your dreams, because everything is really abstract right now. It's not very practical. It's just, you know, it's that, you know, daydreaming days kind of haze. And it's going to be there until March 17th.
Awesome, awesome. So for folks who were trying to listen to the show at the very beginning, that's what happened. JP had a glitch with his computer, and so he couldn't get in. And I came to the show today, and there's a whole other host call-in number, and I was like, am I going to be able to get in? So there's just that energy around, will things work out? Are things going to come to fruition? So you got to see, you know, that trickster Mercury in the works here this evening. So sorry that it held us up a little bit, but we're here now, and we're excited to be here on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour and excited to share the topic tonight. And I thought what we'd talk about, well, I first want to introduce JP. JP is from Miami, and I had done a show a while back on the archetype of the golden child, which for folks who aren't familiar is that very pure potential in all of us. And I was really excited about someone really hearing the message and really connecting with what I was sharing on the show, more so than I'm normally excited about the show. And I didn't hear anything for a while, and I thought, okay, well, you know, I hope that it got out to the right person. And then JP got a hold of me through Facebook and just said that the show had really touched him. And then I was on his show, and then he was on mine. And now we've created this great community with a couple other wonderful intuitive practitioners. So it's all history and herstory, right, JP?
That's so funny.
Isn't that a wonderful ride?
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing how things take off when you get out of the way, you know?
Right, that's right, it's wonderful when you follow your intuition and not be so scared, you know, especially with meeting new people, because when you meet new, you know, you might end up meeting a soul connection there, and I definitely, you know, I really appreciate and value our relationship, and I really believe that there is a soul connection, so I'm so honored, I'm so glad that I wasn't such a punk and didn't email you. I'm so glad.
Oh,
I wasn't
no worries
so scary
about that. Oh, no worries. I just didn't know what was going on, but it's all good. Huh? What?
Yeah, I said, but I had to share. I just had to share, you know, and and tell you how much that particular message resonated with me so much because I was listening in and I was taking a break from my own practice and from being on Blog Talk Radio, and I just so happened to come across this your program, and that message had just really struck a chord with me. I was so empowered by this. You know what? I'm going to email her. I'm emailing her.
I'm so glad you did, because it's just been a wonderful, wonderful connection the whole way around. So, but I want to tell people a little bit about what you do real briefly, because now we've only got 45 minutes for the topic because of all the Mercury stuff. But I do want to tell people what you do. You do all sorts of life coaching and counseling, and you work with groups in like corporate groups, and you do intuitive readings in and of your own self. You do wonderful work.
Absolutely.
And he is so inspiring for the listeners out there. I mean, if there was ever someone who could see the positive part of anything, it is JP. He is so able to see the positive energy coming forward, no matter what's coming up in your life. So that's just really been a gift to be around such a wonderful spirit. So just real briefly, JP, talk about what it is you do.
You know, and that's really funny because I don't know how I do it, and I don't know how it, you know, the energy shows up with me for that. But I'm a natural born empathic and clairvoyant and intuitive. And so I've been practicing that for about a good 12 years, you know, professionally, meaning earning money from it for about 12 years. And a lot of what I did with the intuitive abilities was behind the scenes. You know, I was working with corporate groups, doing a corporate job, but I would end up counseling and I would end up providing readings for my bosses. And so, then they started to recognize that, you know, I had all these wonderful other qualities about me and all of these other credentials because I became a minister. And so they started to give me a little bit more leeway. And the most recent corporate group I was working with, you know, we were doing meditation, and this was for a particular school. It was an adult training center, and the whole goal was to take individuals who were affected by the economy when it collapsed, get them rehabilitated, get them some training, get them a certificate, a degree, and then get them back out into the workforce. And so when I was working with that group, you know, not only did I get to be a life coach, I got to really exercise my interspiritual ministry license.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there, you know, I got to do readings. I got to do meditation. You know, we were in there doing yoga. We were doing affirmative prayer. We were doing a whole bunch of holistic things. And, you know, it was really new. Yeah, it was really new. It was really weird for them. But, you know, the owner of the company said, no, I really want to take this holistic curve because I really feel like that this is the corporate trend now. I really feel like they're really concerned about the holistic whole being of a person. And, you know, you're a gem. You know, it's not every day we're going to have somebody walk in here who's a licensed minister and life coach and an intuitive. You know, so let's utilize that. And so that's what I've been doing. And I seem to have a really knack for working with groups of people, and that's what I really love. I have a passion for that, working with groups of people and intuition development, meditation, strategic life coaching. I have a non-secular degree in holistic counseling, so I definitely incorporate that with the readings and with everything I do. I'm just a natural counselor for some reason. And so that's a little bit about what I do.
I think it's so wonderful that they were willing to take a chance on that. You know, I mean, they've proven that when people are satisfied in the workplace, when they feel like they're getting their deeper needs met, not just their survival needs, not just their cluck in, cluck out needs, but their deeper spiritual and emotional needs met, that they perform better. So it's definitely a win-win for any corporation that does it. And it's a model that, you're right, is totally coming into fashion now, and hopefully will as 2013 progresses and as, you know, we connect with the energy of the new millennium. So that's really, really wonderful. Very cool. Wonderful. Well, I do want to talk about the topic tonight, and then also have time to make our exciting, exciting announcement. I'm so excited. Anyway, so you guys have to stick around to hear that announcement, because that will affect you if you would like it to directly. So I encourage you to stick around and listen to that at the end of the show. But tonight we really wanted to talk about ethics in readings. I think a lot of times people, you know, we all seek to have new information, to access this intuitive information about ourselves, and whether that is strengthening the muscle of our own intuitive muscles so that we understand our own intuition better, or coming to a trusted practitioner to help us have some guidance about what those more difficult or even more exciting parts of our journey look like. It's so wonderful to be able to connect with that energy. But I think a lot of people don't know what to look for, or maybe they do know what to look for, but they don't trust their own inner guidance system to tell them energetically if the practitioner that they're encountering is a good fit for them, if they feel good about it, if they feel safe, if they feel heard, if they can express their concerns, things like that. So tonight what I really wanted to talk about on the show was what it is to get an ethical reading, what that looks like, what a practitioner will bring to the experience of reading for you if they're concerned about you on a heart and soul level, and not just, you know, on a monetary level, not just in terms of building their business, but also really meeting the needs that you may have when you seek out services. So JP, the energy has been around this a bunch. We've been thinking about this because of what we'll tell you at the end of the show. We've been thinking a lot about what this entails. And so JP, you know, when you go to see a practitioner, what is it that you look for in the experience? What's important in terms of your needs?
It's really important for me to do the work. You know, there's really, really important to do, because I understand universal principles. I understand the universal truths. I understand the metaphysics of life. So I've been there. You know, not everyone can get it. Not everyone understands. Not everyone understands intentions and But when I look for someone to connect with, because just like I said before, you know, a doctor doesn't operate on himself, so I always go for intuitive guidance. But I look for someone who completely understands that there has to be work, and I look for someone who's going to make me accountable for that work. And that's just me. That's my personality. I look for someone who can make me accountable for my work and me doing my inner work and my homework, because ultimately, you know, I can go to a practitioner and they could tell me everything I want to hear. They could tell me, you know, you're going to win the lottery, you're going to do da 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 da, you know. But with those types of readings, those types of information, it's always hit and miss. Why? Because there are so many different possibilities to the future. And one choice, one decision can create a completely different type of, you know, future outcome. And we say that we know that, but I don't think that a lot of us really get it. We know it intellectually, but we don't really get it. We don't embody it in our bodies. And so if you know that every thought and decision that you make really, really colors the outcome, it really colors the future, the question is, what type of thoughts am I housing? You know, what are the thoughts and ideas that I'm holding on to that are really creating my tomorrow? And so when I go to an intuitive counselor, an intuitive guide, I'm looking for them to help me identify some of the thoughts, the concepts, and the ideas that I have about myself that continue to keep me experiencing the same cycle of lack and poverty, or low self-esteem, and, you know, it's everything, sickness, you know, whatever. What are these blocks that I'm holding on to? Because I want to clear these blocks so that my tomorrow can look a lot better. And the reason why my tomorrow looks better is because I'm well today. I'm well in this moment. And so it just really goes back to people really understanding. For me, I really understand the metaphysics of this. I understand that my thoughts create my reality. My perspective, my perception creates my reality. So I'm looking for an intuitive counselor, an intuitive guide to really help me identify some of these thoughts forms that I have, these patterns or these self-identifying thoughts and forms that I have, to really help me to release it. So identify it so that I can do the work to release it and
mm-hmm.
really move
mm-hmm.
forward authentically. And I think that I hope that we're coming into that awareness. We're coming into that awareness. When you go to an intuitive counselor, you're always looking for the answer. You know, again, you're affirming this victim energy. You're affirming this codependent energy. You really are. And you really don't really get how this works, how this process works, how manifestation works, how living authentically works. We say it all the time, Jennifer. They say it. They say it all the time. I give it all the time. When I do a reading with a client, and I'm telling them, and I'm actually coaching them to where it is they want to be. And
mm-hmm.
they said, I know. I said, well, you know, but you didn't start off that way. You know, you didn't start
mm-hmm.
off your session with me that way. But you say you know, but you didn't start off your session with me like that. You started off with wanting to know an answer, okay? But if you know how this works, you know, the idea is to take your focus off of the external and really look into the internal and see
mm-hmm.
how you are perpetuating circumstances and situations, how you are consciously creating circumstances and situations, and how you can free yourself, liberation, free yourself. Am I making sense or am I talking gibberish?
I think what I'm hearing you say, JP, the gist of it, the bulk of it, is that you want an intuitive practitioner, even it sounds like in a reading or in longer-term work, to hold you accountable for your own experience.
Absolutely. I want them to hold me accountable for because ultimately I'm the one who's creating it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one
mm-hmm.
who's creating this experience. You know, the practitioner is not. The practitioner is not creating this experience. I am. And so I want you to tell me, what the heck am I holding on to? What beliefs, what ideas am I really holding on to that I'm completely blind to or ignorant to or just not willing to really face that continues
mm-hmm.
to perpetuate these circumstances and situations in my life? Because really,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one who's accountable. I'm responsible for that. And, you know, I just really hope that makes any bit of sense?
Yeah. In my contract, when people come to work with me, I have a clause that says, this is a process, not a product. And I came up with that because I want them to be responsible. I mean, this is obviously not for just one intuitive reading. This is for ongoing work. But I want them to realize that they're responsible for their outcomes and that they, as they're gaining more clarity, as they're doing this inner work and the energy is shifting because in the process, that's what happens is in the beginning, we hold a lot of the energy for the client. But by the end of the process, we want them to be being empowered themselves and holding the energy for themselves and maybe giving us some of the boundaries around, you know, clarifying what the boundaries are for themselves. So it's kind of like there's this growing up process that happens in the process often. And I always say that. I always say, in the contract, this is a process, not a product, because I want them to know that, you know, and that as a process, it is going to be a different process for each client, you know, and that it is important that they are empowered on their own terms. I think sometimes people go to intuitive practitioners, whether for a reading or whether for long-term work, and they want people to tell them what to do. They want to feel
mm-hmm.
comforted. And that makes sense to a certain extent, that they want to feel comforted and supported. But really, it's important that that they work empathically, that there's an empathic communication that happens in the relationship, so that a lot of times the person who comes there can tell the practitioner what they need them to do, you know, and it's a co-creative relationship. Wouldn't you say that, JP?
Absolutely. You know, I'm tossing open in my mind and I'm asking myself, you know, I'm asking my spiritual guidance right now, you know, why is it that we you know, we get comfortable with people telling us what to do. And because let me tell you, it doesn't stop or end with the practitioner. You know, it's on TV. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's our whole lifestyle.
It's
our whole lifestyle of people telling us what to do, how to think, how to feel, how to respond to situations, you know, how to be. And I'm asking, you know, trying to find it, you know, some clarity. And I'm just saying, but I, you know, for me, you know, I've always been, you know, my relationship with my father, and I know I'm going all the way around this question, but my relationship with my father, you know, I would go to my dad, and he, you know, he was this minister, he was an evangelist, and, you know, he just walked around so proud all the time. And I would go to my dad, and I would ask him questions about life. And he would tell me an answer that he just wanted to tell me just to get me out of his face, so to speak. And I've always had this inner determination, that, you know, with myself. I would say, you know, I'm not going to listen to what my dad said. I'm going to go find out the information for myself. I'm going to go. So I just grew up always looking and searching for information for myself, You know, I don't like when people tell me what to do and how to do it. And I'm hoping that, you know, we're collectively coming to that point of saying, you know, wait a minute, this stuff is not working. These ideas and concepts aren't really working because they continue to make me miserable. They continue to make me sad. They continue to make me depressed. You know, I feel deprived. Wait a minute, this can't be, you know, this can't be this way, you know, because really we have to really make a huge, we have to make a really huge paradigm shift in our thinking. We really do. You know, we have to go from being told what to do, really standing and in our integrity and in our empowerment and authenticity. And that's why I appreciate practitioners like yourself, Jennifer, and because you get it. You get it. You understand that it's co-creating. It's about co-creating and assisting you in this particular process of co-creating. I'm kind of tearing up right now at this particular moment because I appreciate you. You know, I've come in contact with a lot of practitioners who don't really get that. You know, they don't really get that, and they leave themselves really vulnerable to criticism. They leave themselves really vulnerable to judgment, the backlash. You told me I was going to get married at 43, and here it is, I'm 45, and I didn't get married. You know what I mean? And then you got a lot of those clients who come to you and they test you on purpose.
They test you
on purpose because they really don't understand the intuitive ability. And, you know, you're the psychic, you're the know-it-all. So, you know, what color are my socks? What color are my drawers right now? You know, I don't care. I don't want to know. You know, that's not what my gift is for. You know, it's just, you know, you get those clients that will really test you. But, you know, hopefully with individuals like yourself, like workers like yourself, I think that there's a new energy of awareness about what we really do and what we're actually able to do. When you think about love and when you think about God and God being an unconditional God, not a conditional, an unconditional God. God is completely unconditional. You can make your life the way you want it. God guides you and assists you and coaches you through it. So what makes you think, you know, if you're operating from spirit, of course that's the type of exchange you're giving to the world. It's guidance. It's coaching. It's assisting. It's because it's coming from this unconditional place of love. It's coming from this unconditional place of deep appreciation and sacredness. You know, if somebody's telling you what's going to happen, you know, this is going to happen, this is, you know, that makes me think of the ego. That makes me think of the ego.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense.
And I mean, I think there's a differentiation between the ego and the authentic self, and we get it pretty confused sometimes. I think that the authentic self is about helping someone become the best person that they can be. I mean, the absolute, to let their gifts shine. And when I work with clients, I really want to be able to strip back anything that has made it difficult for their gifts to shine so that they can trust their intuition, they can trust their heart-centered guidance more. But I don't want to blow smoke up there, you know what. I don't want to do that, you know. And I think that some practitioners really, you know, are more in the place where they want to just kind of mirror that ego piece, and that, of course, has to do with themselves and where they're at on the continuum. But I think it's changing. I mean, I think that there's a lot of changes that are happening in the intuitive profession, in the counseling profession, among certain psychics. I think that it really is changing, and people are seeking out services because they want to understand their own inner guidance system, and their practitioners are becoming more aware that it isn't like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. And I would encourage, I mean, I would want any client going anywhere for any kind of intuitive work to really feel empowered in the process, to feel more self-empowered, and to be able to heal or salve or have someone witness some of those wounds so that they're less painful. And I think sometimes I've gone to practitioners myself who, you know, they're very, very quick with saying what's going on, but the empathy piece is kind of missing, you know. They're not realizing the impact of what it is they're sharing with someone, which may be painful, they may not be ready to hear. You know, there may be a whole lot of energy around the messages that you're delivering. And I feel like we are, you know, responsible with the way that we impart those messages to people. And that sometimes that gets missed. So I wonder what you think about that.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you mentioned this because, you know, I guess it's my Cancer moon. I have a Cancer moon. I am so really, really passionate about empathy and really showing true, genuine concern for one another, even if it's not, you know, something that involving readings. You know, even when I'm on the phone with customer service and I'm in a phone call or something like that, or I'm going in the store and I'm talking to someone, I really expect this particular person to be really engaged with me and really pay attention to me and my needs. You know, and I'm doing it simultaneously, so I'm really paying attention to their needs, and I'm hoping that they're doing the same. And it's the same with this, especially in this particular platform, with working with energy and spirit and your intuitive abilities. It's so important. You know, you have a lot. I'm straightforward. You'll see it. I'm straightforward. I don't hold any details. I'm going to tell you like it is. You know, that type of thing. That's great. That's you know, I understand where you're coming from. But you really, really have to understand this particular client. You have to understand the person. You have to really, 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 you have to really surrender, so to speak. And I know I'm speaking really philosophically, but it's you're working with spirit. And what I've always come to understand is something about God and about spirit. Spirit is always so gentle. And it is always so beautiful and so graceful, even when it's with its messages to me, whenever I needed clarity or I needed understanding. You know, my ego is expecting this huge, grandioso scenario experience to play out. But here it is, spirit comes in through the back door very quietly, very gently, very beautifully. And it's always this little seed that turns into this greater understanding. And that's because
love has no ego.
Absolutely. And that's because love has no ego.
Love has no ego.
It is completely egoless. And so it knows that it has nothing to prove. It doesn't have to be accepted or approved of or any of that foolishness. And so that's why it's always gentle. It's always patient. It's always so graceful and beautiful. And I really feel as if, when we're operating in spirit, that naturally comes out of us. If it doesn't naturally come out of us, then, you know, we really need to check our connection. We really need to check our connection and see what we're really connecting to. And even though you may be receiving information, you have to understand there are different levels of the intuitive ability. There are different levels of the intuitive ability. And the idea is if you are intuitive, you're practicing intuitive, you want to resonate to the highest level of your intuitive abilities. And you do that without the ego. You do that without the ego. You have to be in a place of this wonderful surrender and this just letting go and allowing that spirit to gently go. Because we're talking about people's lives here.
We're talking about
their complete identification here. And, you know, you can be straightforward and you know, you'll get that. You'll find some success in that. But you know what I find, Jennifer? There's a burnout. You'll always come to a burnout. And I know that. I'm raising both my hands. You'll always come to a place of being burnt out.
That is the one thing that I would say that I learned as an intuitive practitioner the most, for anyone out there listening who's wanting to do this kind of work or, you know, playing around with tarot cards with your friends or that sort of thing, and I know that with my client, with my the tarot card reading clients, I teach classes, that is the one thing that people struggle with the most. And I've seen readers who are brilliant readers, and they think about having someone in front of them, and all of a sudden they're just like, you know, like a little mouse. And I think that it's because we take ourselves so seriously. We're taught in our culture to take ourselves so seriously and to take our the weight of our messages so seriously. And I think that what me and JP are saying is that, yes, you take the energy of the person gently and you hold it gently, but in terms of the messages, you have to first of all get out of the way and not be worried about how the person is going to receive the message. As long as you deliver it with kindness, with consideration, with awareness, the other piece is the way that they receive the message. And I've seen so many practitioners take on so much burden and expectation of themselves for getting it absolutely accurate or having the person, and I think sometimes there's a misnomer, and it's really about the way the person's receiving it. It's not about whether or not the information was or wasn't accurate. And when you take that whole piece out of the puzzle, that whole have to get it right, you know, that we put on our own ego, we all are so much better readers, and we're honestly so much more productive in the world because we take that onus off of ourselves.
I love that. And you called me out for that because I was struggling with that. And, you know, even though I've been doing this for 12 years, you know, this was private behind the doors. It's that scorpion energy, you know. And now I'm doing this all public. And, you know, I struggled with that. And I struggled with it recently. And, you know, Jennifer, you were there. You were saying, James, listen, you're taking yourself too seriously. You can't be everything to everybody. Calm down. You know, like, wait, calm it down, sir. Just be cool. Keep it casual, you know. And I struggled with it. And I said, yeah, she's so right. What the heck am I doing? You know, what am I doing?
But, you know,
it's just... Yeah.
We all do it. I mean, to say all that, we all do it. We're all human beings. Yeah. We all struggle. We all fall short. We all get stuck in patterns. I mean, that is what makes us human, is that we're not perfect. And so it's great to have a friend or a support or a witness or a counselor or a reader or what have you who can show you that, who can show that part of your image back to you, you know, that mirroring back to you, because we can't always do it for ourselves. We have a blind spot for a reason. Having a blind spot keeps us safe, you know, and protected to a certain extent. And that consciousness opening piece is a process, you know. It isn't the product, it is a process. So, I mean, I would encourage you in our relationship, James, as well, to show me if I need, you know, if I need that piece shined on me, because we all have blind spots, you know. That's just part of our humanity, and thank God we do, so we can,
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely,
develop more tolerance and more empathy with each other.
And it's so important to have emotional support, even if it's just one person, especially when you're doing this type of work and you really want to come from a place of authenticity and true empowerment and grace and beauty. You know, the Christians, I grew up in the Christian church, they talk about the fruits of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, and embodying the fruits of the Spirit, which is, you know, patience and kindness. And so when you're doing this work, you want to exhibit those fruits of the Spirit, you want to embody them. But so it's wonderful to have a great emotional support system, even if it's just one person, to keep you, you know, to keep you motivated and to keep you empowered and uplifted and to talk to you about those fine thoughts and to give you that. You know, it's really important when you're doing this because, you know, this work is not the easiest work in the world. It's easy if you're not coming from the right place, you know. It's easier to go around and tell people anything, but, you know, eventually you'll start to, you know, they'll start to throw eggs in your face and you know, tomatoes, like, well, he's crazy. It's, you know, this particular platform, it still has a lot of stigma with it. You know, people still are uncomfortable mm-hmm. with it. They still don't quite understand it. You know, you're intuitive, but your family don't know what that means. They can't even spell the word. They don't know what you do. They see you meditate all the time and light the incense and read the cards. They're going crazy. They don't know what's going on. They're saying you're going to hell. You know, they're having interventions with you. They're Skyping you. They don't understand. So it's a tough business. You know, it's tough in the sense of, you know that you have this gift. You know you have this wonderful connection to spirit. And you're alone. It's really good to have the emotional support system that will keep you encouraged and inspired.
But, you know, it's so funny to me that, like, because I've experienced that in my family as well. They just, like, basically did not value the idea that intuition was anything real. I mean, I lived in a family where everybody was up in their head. That was what was valued. That was what was reinforced. And, you know, I was just considered crazy because they just thought I was a crackpot, which, like, I don't care. I'm over it. But you know, I mean, I've helped them grow in some ways, whether they know it or not. But you know, honestly, it's so odd to me that it is such a misnomer and that it is such an understood world, because it really does help us to have so much more clarity on our journey, make so much better decisions and choices for ourselves, figure out what our life path looks like, and figure out what really is right for us inside and hold that vision. I think that's the one piece as an intuitive practitioner that I really, really want to instill in people, is the idea of holding their vision, whether it's coming to fruition or not. We live in a bigger, better, faster, more society. We have to see an immediate response in the outside world or we don't value anything we've done. And in reality, our imagination is like intuition. It's so much more gentle than that. It's so much more magical than that.
Absolutely.
And we, like, pin it down. Our ego has a tendency to pin it down and then discredit anything that we got along the way. And those visions, those energies that we're helping to birth and to hold and to develop need our patience while we bring them to fruition. And we really do a disservice to ourselves when we expect something to show up. I always say to show up on Tuesday with sprinkles on top. You know, it's like, well, maybe it shows up on Wednesday or three Wednesdays from now, and maybe it's got fudge on the bottom, or maybe, you know, but we hold on to it so tight that then it's there and we don't even appreciate it when it's there. And that, I think, is living in the head, encourages us. Living solely in the head, in isolation, living in the head and the heart are great because they help us get to greater truth. But when we start living in the head at the expense of the heart and the body and the intuition and the gut, that's when we really do ourselves a disservice and we're not able to appreciate and have gratitude for everything that happens in our lives.
Absolutely. I so agree with that. And you know, the spirit just told me something else. I just really like to encourage individuals who are doing this intuitive work. You know, I love Louise Hayes. I love her. I love her. And my mother, you know, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's a breast cancer survivor. But she was also, before that, she went through a lot of mental breakdowns. And when I went to go see her in these mental facilities, you know, I would always give her those books from Louise Hayes. Hear Mom, read these. But something she always says, the first thing you need to do with, you know, stop scaring yourself. So, you know, I would really love, you know, for us to get to a point to where, and we talked a little bit about this, Jennifer, where we can get to a point to where we can stop making intuition such a scary thing and stop mm-hmm. making this business such a scary thing. In the sense of, you know, we have a lot of the TV shows out right now, the Ghost Hunters and all of this, you know. And yes, we acknowledge spirits. We acknowledge, you know, those who have transitioned. And, you know, I get some during readings. I get people, you know, but it's not a scary thing. It's not fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's love. It's love. And
mm-hmm.
And so with that, you know, couple that with having your emotional support system and really coming from an authentic place, you know, we really want to take intuition and really recognize it for the beautiful thing it really is. Spirit, energy, God, love, it's beauty. You know, it's not mm-hmm. something so dark and so overly occultic and, you know, just something so, you know, just mm-hmm. this scary experience, you know, because, again, that's coming from ego, that's coming from fear. It's not coming from love. It's because the truth is, it's love. Spirit is love. The individuals that pass on, they come in and they step in. They're in love. They're in love. They're mm-hmm. in a pool of love. You know, and when they come and they show up to me, you know, it's always love. It's love. It's scary because I'm not familiar with the experience. But after a while, I start to feel the love. So I guess I want to say that, you know, to all the practitioners who are really adamant about being more authentic and really connecting to their highest level of intuition, stop making it such a scary thing. Stop making it mm-hmm. such a dramatic thing. Stop making it such a, you know, this overly occultic thing. And I'm a fan of the occult, but, you know, it doesn't have to be this overly occultic, you know, thing, because everyone ultimately is intuitive. And if we're having this space,
absolutely.
Or we're holding this space, and we're operating, yeah, and if we're operating in intuition, the whole idea is to help everyone wake up to their intuition. They can't do that if they always feel threatened. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They have a hard time recognizing it if they always feel threatened and scared. And don't use that fear as a way to, you know, really push people away from you because you've been hurt for so long and you've been intuitive and you've been hurt by judgment and criticism. Don't use that to exclude. You know, use your intuitive abilities to include
absolutely.
Everyone.
Absolutely. That's the other thing I guess I want to share this evening is that I think that a lot of people look to experts, and there are people who have done this work for a long time and have a great understanding about, you know, what their journey looks like, and they can guide you and help you. But honestly, you can do so much for you by looking around in your environment and noticing what you're drawn to, noticing what helps you feel good, making yourself more aware when you feel like something isn't going on that's the way it should be, or you feel like you're being given a slight, like not being told the whole story. We have a tendency to push away from our own inner knowing, and because it feels scary, like JP is talking about. But in reality, you know, this inner guidance system, if you get curious in yourself, like when something doesn't feel like you're getting the whole story, or it doesn't feel like you know, or there's a bait and switch going on, or whatever the energy is, take ownership of it. Go, wow, you know, something doesn't feel right. And be curious about that instead of pushing away from it and saying, I can't prove it. You've been given this faculty internally so that you get a deeper, more refined, sensitized idea of what stuff feels like for you. And don't discount it, because it's a great barometer. It's a great way to know yourself better. If something probably is.
Yeah, how many times, Jennifer, have you gotten a client who asked you a question and they knew the answer?
Oh, my gosh, that happens all the time. That happens all the time. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they knew the answer, and they just needed to be given permission to know it or something like that. You know,
right.
They just needed to have permission to know it.
You know what? I'm going to be very honest. I call them out. I always call them out. And, you know, there's even been a case where, you know, I gave money back. I said, listen, you know, you're looking for, I don't know what you're looking for, you know. And, you know, I would coach it. And I would because the whole idea is that
yeah.
it's all intuitive. It's about really, really trusting.
Absolutely.
And, you know, with that said, you know, we're just coming into intuition and defining it and really, you know, having some clarity to it. So, you know. You know, in retrospect, you know, we're just coming to into our awareness of it and really, you know, understanding it a bit more, because, you know, before we didn't quite understand it. We, you know, we made it some superstitious type of deal for generations. But again, you know, as light workers who are actually in it and we're in tune and we're in spirit, you know, let's encourage our clients. That's ethics. Let's encourage our clients.
Absolutely.
To be more aware of their intuition and stop playing God with them. You know what I mean? So to speak. Stop
Absolutely.
Playing God. They know the answers. They know it.
Well,
encourage them to speak their truth.
And even right down to, like, you know, what color should I use to draw this energy out, or what chakra is this associated with? You can literally sit down where you are right now, ask the question, close your eyes, go into your body, and get an energetic hit for where it feels like it is. You can decide that for you, pink feels right because, you know, that's the energy that's around the environment. Books can tell you tons of things, and I've made the mistake of going in and doing talks in bookstores and telling people not to read books, so I won't do that. But I'm just saying that be, you know, take your own intuitive awareness seriously. Those colors and energies and images and interest level is coming to you because that is intuitive information. So don't discount it, or don't think that you need to get the one be all answer. You know, you have that answer internally, and our job, if we're good intuitive practitioners, is to help you find it, to help you find it inside, and to know what resonates for you.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I love that. That's right. That's right. We're here to help you look for your car keys, not to just materialize the car keys. We're going to help you
look for
your
car keys. And to give you tools so you can remember, you know, a good system so that you'll know where you put your car keys, so that it becomes intuitive, so it becomes internalized, so that you're a friend with yourself, so you have good systems in place and good ideas and good awarenesses and higher levels of consciousness. That is
absolutely
the job of an intuitive practitioner, more than just this, what is it, predictive stuff. You know, we like the predictive stuff because it gets us off the hook for our own experience often, I think.
Yeah, so it's just completely allowing life to just do whatever to you. You know, you get the question, how does my money look? I don't know. How does it look to you? You know, how does my money look, or how will it look soon? I don't know how it's going to look soon. You know, of course, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, here's the more empowering question. What am I doing to resist prosperity? What am I doing to resist abundance?
Exactly.
You know, now we can work. Now we can do some stuff. You know what I mean? Now we can really get to work. Because not only am I inspired by this question, I feel spirit all and through my gut right now. You know, so I know it's present.
Absolutely.
I know it's alive and active.
Absolutely. We just have a very few more minutes, but I guess the way that I want to spend it is just to have each of us come up real briefly with one of the things that we would tell you in the listening audience about seeing an intuitive practitioner. And what I would say about that is that it's really, really important for you to trust your own inner sense about what that looks like for you, to trust if you feel a goodness of fit with that person, if you feel excited by the work that you're going to do with that person, if you feel safe with that person. All of those kinds of questions are questions that you're going to want to ask yourself when you see an intuitive practitioner, because it's going to want to feel like someone that you can connect with, that you can really connect with on a deeper level. So go right back to your own inner guidance system. And if you're getting a no, or something doesn't feel right here, or you're giving all your power away, those are great, great questions to ask yourself when you sit down to help someone, to let someone guide you, to let someone give you guidance and information. What about you, JP? We just got 2 minutes. So.
Oh, no, and I was going to say, and really, really check yourself. Really, really check yourself and really think about what it is you're seeking. You know, really ask yourself, okay, I have these concerns, I have these questions. You know, am I coming to the psychic because I just want to feel good and I want, you know, a feel-good answer? Or am I really ready to start making a huge, dramatic shift and change in my life? Because ultimately what happens is if you could shift your consciousness, and this is what all this doing this inner work is about, when you can shift your consciousness, you know, the difficulty you're having now, you won't really have it anymore or to that effect. Because your consciousness has changed, you have matured, you're on another level. So this is all about taking accountability for your inner growth and really checking yourself and asking yourself, am I going to the psychic, am I going to this intuitive because I want a quick fix, or am I going because I want my consciousness to change so that I don't have to deal with this particular issue to this full effect or extent anymore?
Awesome. Thanks so much, JP. We got 90 seconds to take the show out, but I've so appreciated your presence here and all your ideas and your witnessing and your energy, and you're just great. So thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. Take care. I made it. Thank you.
Yay, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, entrain magic, experience magic, share it with each other. That's really what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye now.